abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. So, I know what this abiding is. For a long time, I used to wonder what that was, too. And to abide in him means to continue in fellowship with him, to continue in relationship with him. So, basically, our relationship with God looks like this. God speaks to us, and we sit and we listen to him. That's basically our relationship. Now, there's another cool aspect to this, though. Jesus promised that once we receive the Holy Spirit, that out of our belly, well, the King James says belly, but it's really out of our heart. Out of our heart will flow rivers of life-giving water. And it says he said this speaking of the Spirit. So the cool thing is you don't got to wait for a word of God to come to you. You can open your mouth and start speaking out the word of God. And when we do that, the fruit is produced. Then we become fruit producers instead of fruit receivers and consumers. So the faith that you're feeling, the assurance you're feeling from listening to me tonight is actually my fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming through me. But I'm a branch and you're eating the fruit off of the end of my branch. How's it taste? So the next logical question I ask God is, okay, the fruit of the tree is not for the tree, but for others to come by and consume. So I'm like, okay, so if I'm a branch and I'm producing all this fruit, then what's in it for me? Actually, it wasn't producing fruit in you. That's what I'm trying to say. You were producing fruit and giving it to them, okay? It was not producing fruit in you. I'm going to tell you what was going through you while you were doing that. That's what I'm unveiling right now. You have this river of words of the Holy Spirit flowing up out of your heart, producing fruit at the end of your branch, which you're not going to eat, but somebody else is. So what is it that you have? What is it that you have based on the verse I just posted? When the branch is attached to the vine, what is it that flows through the branch? And according to John 6:63, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. What is it that flows through your veins as you prophesy? Yes, life. So we showed you that when the Spirit speaks to you, you'll be able to eat the fruit of Jesus himself off of his tree. But when the Spirit flows through you, you experience his life. So once again, pull out your legal pad, and I'm going to go over the next thing that you have inherited. You have inherited eternal life. So you will taste the fruit of the Spirit. You will taste the fruit of the Spirit for yourself. But that's when Jesus is speaking to you. You see? This is why it's not only speaking for Jesus all the time, it's also letting Jesus speak to you. And so when he speaks to you, you taste of the fruit of his tree of life. He is the tree of life. When you let him speak through you, you experience that life. Are we good on that one? You understand that? Now, by listening to the Holy Spirit, you will have the fruit of meekness. When you produce the fruit of meekness, you will inherit the earth. So it comes by listening to God and letting God speak through you. So you receive all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You receive eternal life, and as an additional bonus, you get to inherit the entire earth as well. We just remembered, I promised to share with you about the desires and put the desires question to bed. Does God give you the desire, your desires, or does God put his desires on your heart? Well, this is what he said about that. He said, if you abide in me, stay in relationship with him, and his words abide in you, and his words abide, that word abide means to remain. So you remain in relationship with him, and his words remain in you. You keep the word instead of just giving it up so easily. Then you will ask what you will. Now you will decree what you desire. What do you desire? Well, it will probably be along the lines of his words. So in other words, you have relationship with him, his words remain in you, and then you're going to be praying his words. We're going to be praying his desires, and it shall be done unto you. So we see another passage here that says the same thing, that if we pray His words, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. So we can know for sure that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Yeah. That's what we're doing. We're getting down to the simplicity of this thing.
His words become the foundation upon which you can stand and decree and declare His words. Once you have God's words, then you take those words and you speak those words to the mountain, believing what you say, and then you will have what you say. Listen, we had some really awesome experiences with God in this group very recently. God helped, showed me where your keys were, and God used you and me to prophesy about this girl getting home safely. And it happened, okay? So this isn't something to take lightly. This is something, you can take God's words to heart. You can take God's words to the bank, okay? And God's words move mountains because He has faith in what He says. So you just got to believe that God has faith. You see, our belief is that God has faith in His word and that He faithfully backs up His word with signs, wonders, and power. It's God's job to make good on His words. And God, listen, we need God to confirm His word with signs and wonders, because that is how we come to know we truly heard God's word and we truly believe God's word, you see. Now, what if whatever you believe comes to pass? I bet you it does. We already covered that with Paul Eckert. Whatever you believe comes to pass. So it's in your best interest to believe God's words, okay? You can allow yourself to believe God's word. You don't need to fear being let down by God. And God will confirm His word so that you know that you indeed heard and believed correctly. So, if you're doing a journal and you're not sure it's God, that uncertainty is going to kill the whole process. But if you come to me and say, well, this is my journal entry, does it sound like God to you? And I'll be like, yeah, that's God. So once you know it's God, there's only one thing left to do. Believe every word. Choose to believe it. Allow yourself to believe it. Have faith in God. Believe in God that He's telling you the truth.
While I was going over all this, God showed me these verses today. We're going to talk about the immutable things of God, which means the things of God that don't remain silent. Wherein God, willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So I asked God five times, what are those two immutable things? Because I only see one. Is it possible for God to lie? And God says, no, go back up a verse. Verse 17. The two immutable things is this. Number one, His counsel. God's counsel and His wisdom are immutable. Number two, that He confirms it. He confirmed His counsel by an oath that He swore by Himself, because He can swear by none greater. So He swore by Himself. So He validates His own oath, you know. So then that's why it says the strongest thing we can say is that God, it is impossible for God to lie.
Once again, before I splash you with all the wonders of your great inheritance, I want to show you how to receive it. How is it inherited? Hebrews 6:12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, both of those are fruit of the Holy Spirit, by the way, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So, since we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit here again, how we inherit the promises is by listening to the Holy Spirit and believing the promises.